Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too. Hi there, and you haven't heard him say here, Steve, for quite a while, because I've been, well, gone since what, April 13th, I believe it was. Hi, Jim Burns. How are you?
Steve, we are so glad to have you back.
Thank you.
And we do say here, Steve, and then we say, well, no, it's not Steve, but it's Becky.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's right.
There you go.
Well, let me tell you where I've been. On the 13th, I was speaking at the Palmetto Pregnancy Center and telling my story of paying for an abortion. And it just, I felt horrible. And I did a weird job there. And then I got in a car the next morning, drove home, ran into the median with my car, $2,000 worth of damage there. I was in atrial fibrillation. And if you know anything about that, that sets you up for stroke. And I had a little mini stroke. I couldn't say the words I wanted to say. And so I went to the Misty call 911. I went to the hospital. I was there 7 days, discovered two very, very severe kidney infections. So it took me about 7 weeks to get over all of that. And in the midst of it, my mom passed away, and we did her service last Wednesday, which would have been her 96th birthday. And Brian, we did that. I'll talk to you about that more, about her passing later. But I really got sick, and I didn't know it, and I am so grateful to have other competent people that can do what I do so that I could get well. And some might think I have a longer way to go. I need to get weller. But I think I'm doing pretty well right now. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
Good to see you or hear you. But anyway, so glad to be back. Thank you, all of you, for your prayers. So many people said they were praying, sent messages. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Very grateful for that, for my health, and then also many, many wonderful things surrounding my mom. As I said, when Larry comes in, I'll talk about that then. But so glad to be back. If you want to join us on the program, here's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Now, also, in the midst of all that was the National Religious Broadcasters meeting. And at that meeting, I don't know if you are looking on the YouTube channel that we're on, New Life YouTube channel, but right here, maybe you can see it better. There's Steve Arterburn's name and Lisa Voyen, executive producer, Terry Mack, producer. We won Program of the Year, and I was given this fantastic trophy, and we'll have one at all three of our offices, and we're giving one to Lisa and to Terry, and it's all of this is due to the people that support us and to those that make this happen, like Lisa and Terry and those great stations we're on that inspire us to do a better job all the time. And people like you, Jim and Jill, who could be talked to if somebody called 1-800-229-3000. This is a great day. I'm excited to be back, a little overwhelmed, but we'd love to talk with you. And we'll do that 1-800-229-3000. Later on, we're going to talk about this matching gift. And it's a lot that we have, and the response has been great. Need a little more to match the whole thing. And I want to tell you about my mom and her passing. All right, 1-800-229-3000. And if you've never looked at our website, newlife.com, give it a look. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Jim Burns, and myself taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be here for 2 hours. Now, let's go to, Bridge, Elk Ridge, Maryland. Bridget is the name, WAVA. Hi, Bridget. How are you? You are on with the three of us. Hi.
Hi. Good. I just want to say I'm glad you're feeling better and you're back. And
thank you.
You are a very, very wise man. I love listening to you.
Thank you for that. I have recorded that to play back for my wife this afternoon. So thank you. Appreciate it. Anything else we could help you with, Bridget?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, I've seen like the counseling sessions. I know it's, they have one for marriage couples, but I'm not currently married. And, of course, I live by D.C., so I don't know if anytime you'd be around this area.
Well, I do come there frequently because we have this partnership, Museum of the Bible and the Inspire organization, for this woman's event in November called Lumina. But maybe one of those visits, I could come by Elk Ridge. I've never even heard of Elk Ridge before, but I'm sure they're...
Elk Ridge,
yeah. So
it's by Columbia, Maryland.
A lot of elk there. Is that right?
No.
No? No? Well, no. You know, what are you going to go with if it's not elk? Okay. So anyway, we have these intensives. That's what you were asking about. And we have a Restore intensive coming up. We did a webinar, and then a lot of people have signed up for the Restore workshop, or as we call them, or intensive. And if there was ever any unfinished business over betrayal, June 10th is when we do Restore. And then we've got Every Man's Battle coming up June the 2nd, which is this weekend in Orange County. And then our marriage one is in D.C. July 28th. If you're not married, well, no need to come then, right?
No.
But we do have the...
Although it probably would be good for people not married, right?
Yeah, that is
true. It really would.
Well,
we should have a singles group at the marriage retreat.
We do have people that are not yet married, that are engaged. They don't get to stay in the same room or have to stay in the same room. Either one, whatever your position is on that. But we don't let you stay in the same room. And it really seems to be a great way to start things off. But I will say this, if you're divorced and it was about betrayal and you're a female, June 10th is an online Restore workshop, whereas Every Man's Battle is in person in Orange County. And then we're going to do in-person intimacy and marriage July 28th in D.C. But, Bridget, thanks for the compliment, and thanks for calling us. And I hope we get to see you down the road.
Thank you for taking my call.
You are
absolutely
welcome. God bless you, and thank you again. Let's go to Sylvia, Turlock, California. Hello, Sylvia. How are you today?
Hi, Steve. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And hello, Jim. And hello, Jill.
Hello.
And you're watching on the YouTube channel, right?
Yes, sir.
So you can see this beautiful award here, the Radio NRB, National Religious Broadcaster Program of the Year. I'm a little bit proud of that. How could we help you, Sylvia? Yeah.
Congratulations. Well, my question is, how do I proceed and move on after being terrorized sexually and molested over and over? I'm going to give you a little backstory. When I was 3 years old, my step-uncle proceeded to take me and my cousin behind my grandmother's backyard into the field, where he proceeded to pleasure himself in front of us, and when he was done, he made us touch it. I don't know how I knew, but I knew it was wrong, and I just felt a lot of shame. So a year later, my mom married the man next door. I remember going to his dad's house and using the restroom, and there was a stack of Playboy magazines next to the toilet. And I remember being curious and started looking at the women and being intrigued and not knowing it at the time, but being aroused. When I was 9 years old, we moved to a new house, and there was a detached garage where my parents would go out to every weekend to drink and do drugs and watch porn. And the door didn't shut all the way, so I would stand there quietly curious what my parents were doing. I stood there hypnotized by the pornography until they shooed me away. When I was 10, we moved into a cul-de-sac, and my mom and my stepdad would always walk around in their underwear, and many times my stepdad would have an erection, and I just remember knowing that it was wrong and I shouldn't see it. And once again, I felt shame. We moved into the cul-de-sac, and my friends would play in the court, basketball, baseball, those things, and my stepdad would pull his underwear up to his neck where his genitals would fall out on either side and press himself up against the window, and I'd scream and cry and beg him to stop, and I'd beg my mom to tell him something, and my mom would just call me a prude.
Okay, later, so Sylvia, I think we got enough of those details.
You were highly sexualized.
And so how could we first, I want to ask you a question. What have you done to get help for any of the things that you told us about or things that you haven't told us about? Have you gotten any help for that?
So, yes, sir. I am in counseling currently. I'm just the reason why I called in and wanted to talk about this is because a little while ago I just was crying because I had a bad dream about it. I'm always dreaming about it, and this time I woke up crying for like an hour. And I just want to know how to proceed to get over this because right now I'm stuck.
Okay. Let me have you start here, Jill, and then we'll go to Jim. What do you think she
Sylvia,
needs to do?
Sylvia, I'm so sorry that you had parents that did not protect you and that exposed you way prematurely. And stirred things in you that were inappropriate for your age. And Sylvia, how old are you now?
I'm 51.
Okay. It takes a lifetime in some cases in terms of working through it all. I'm really glad to hear you're in therapy. It's really important that you continue in therapy and that you don't shame yourself about needing the help or thinking you should already be over this. It takes as long as it takes. And to be with someone that's trauma-informed, that can help you talk about these things and put them in their proper place. We often recommend EMDR treatment as a way of taking the emotional punch out of things, but it's leaking into your dream life. So you're chewing on all of this to try to make sense of it. And you've given us a very coherent narrative. So you're putting the pieces together, but I think there needs to be some forgiveness of yourself, some awareness of your innocence, and some feelings of compassion and wanting to protect that little girl in you, right?
Yeah.
We come along and we become part of our own, you know, needed comfort in the healing process as we allow other safe adults that are trustworthy in a context where there are boundaries to help us through.
You know, I'm wondering, before we go to Jim, how you feel about the people that abused you, the people that were responsible either by not protecting you or they abused you themselves. How do you feel about those folks?
So I've come to forgive my mom. I found out that she was a victim of of incest at the age of six.
And makes sense.
So I know she was also sexualized at a young age, so I've come to forgive her. But my stepdad, the one that I dream about constantly, he's dead and gone, and I led him to the Lord on his deathbed. And so I feel like he's in heaven, and I want to forgive him and move on. And I think that's why I was crying this morning, is because I keep trying to forgive him, and it keeps coming back. And it's it's like impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that there are a couple of steps that we have to take before we can fully forgive. And one of those is to fully grieve what was stolen from you, what was taken inappropriately, abusively, that traumatized you. So we have to grieve that loss, just like the death of a person. And then we have to come to this place where we can embrace what we have left. And it's not the same. It's been impacted. So we come to work through and embrace it. Now, I think once we've grieved the loss, embraced the reality that's left, now we do have a chance to forgive in a way that totally releases me from that person and them interfering with my life in my memory or dreams or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, I might get triggered every now and then from something, but then I go right back, you know, to this place of forgiveness. But here's another dilemma. If I feel shame, still feel shame that they put on me, it's going to be really hard, maybe impossible to forgive. I have to get rid of that shame. And that's where Jill was saying, forgiving yourself. Mm-hmm. And a trauma specialist is the kind of person that can lead you through this. Jim, what are you thinking when you hear about something this horrible?
You know, Sylvia, I had a physical reaction as you were talking. I was so sad for you as a child. I mean, totally innocent. And one of the things that we say to kids, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the abuser. And that is so hard sometimes for kids because they're experiencing some of that shame. Or you even said you had some emotions that were going on in your own life. But it's the fault of the abusers. Those were sad and sick people, and I'm so sorry to say that about family members. And you know, you're doing it right because you're seeking help. But what I want to do is give you a word picture. Just because when we have a dream that's just a horrible dream like that, I want you to put in your mind, do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Any idea?
Jesus
wept. Yes. And what I see happening, and I honestly kind of had this in my head while you were talking, is I see Jesus coming and putting his arms around you in love, unconditional love, and him weeping with you for the pain that was caused to you. And I honestly believe that God does that. And I think that's where we find our hope and where we can get past our shame, because he shares none of that. In terms of your shame, he does not believe that there can, you know, should be shame with what you, as a child, you were a victim. And so I want you to think for a moment, and just sometimes when you're feeling tough and it's hard, close your eyes, imagine Jesus with his loving arms coming to you and actually saying, I love you, my child, and I'm so sorry. But then look in the eyes of Jesus in this word picture and see the tears in his eyes, because if he wept at the death of a friend, he weeps when a child has had the experience that you had, and I'm so sorry for it.
So, three things. I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, which talks about grieving, embracing, and forgiving in a different way. And I'm going to send you 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. There's devotional material, scripture, some great quotes from great people. You do that for 100 days, it makes a difference. The third thing is, if you'll hold on, we'll find that specialist for you who can help you with the trauma and getting the kind of help that every trauma victim needs. We'll do that right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us here. Let me mention this again. Every Man's Battle this weekend in Orange County. And it's going to be a great time. You could have, starting this weekend, a whole new life of integrity. One person, one man said this: I was given the tools I need for recovery, was trained on how to use them. My small group became some of the closest brothers that I have in my life. They know the real me and still show me love. A lot of times you're faking it. You never feel love because you're always thinking, yeah, but if they really knew who I was. We're going to find Sylvia, a counselor, a specialist for trauma. We can do the same for you or anything you need there in the area of counseling, but if you'll just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right? You call, we'll help you. That's the phone number. And if you have a husband, brother, boyfriend, son, third uncle that has a problem with sexual integrity, you call us and we'll tell you how to best inspire that person to come to Every Man's Battle this weekend. Just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to Jerry from Flagstaff, Arizona. Hi, Jerry. How are you? You listen on the app. We're glad you do.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question today, it may be age relevant, but short answer is sex before marriage a sin? Actually, let me give you a quick background of it. I spoke with a very prominent Christian sex counselor.
Uh-huh.
Who told me that basically in the old days that the actual covenant of marriage was not a legal thing. Marriage is the legal binding contract, and that it is not a sin, and that in the Book of Solomon, that the couple in Solomon was not went on to say how she regretted telling people that sex before marriage is a sin because she felt that it's going to diminish people's going to church. And my mouth just fell wide because she also said that fornication does not mean sex before marriage. It has a different Greek meaning. And as a lifelong Christian, I kind of was surprised. But then I think there are cultural things such as, you know, in the Bible, wearing cover over your head. We don't do that in the Protestant church because that is was a cultural thing. And I just want to make sure that I'm giving my young nieces the correct advice. And I feel like
good.
This is a hot potato
yeah.
because we don't talk about it anymore in the church, and it's so cool.
I am glad that you asked this. And, of course, Jim Burns is an expert in fornication. Jim.
So glad you're here, Jim.
Yes.
Well, you know, Jim has a great history as a youth pastor and writes about issues for young people. And the same truth is there for young people and
sure.
old people wherever you are
sure.
if you're not married. So
yeah.
take it away, Jim.
Well, Jerry, I'm so glad you called. And it's a great question that a lot of us have. And in a world today where we have so much confusion about our sexuality, you know, the Bible's really pretty clear. And I'm not sure the person that you're talking to knows the scripture or actually knows the Greek. The Greek word for fornication is what was translated fornication is called porneia. It's a Greek word. And actually, the root word is kind of the old English style, PH, and that's where we get fornication. That's where we get pornography. But it's also better translated immorality. So if you look at a New International Version or whatever, it's really closer to the Greek. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, flee sexual immorality. It doesn't say flee sex and marriage, but it says flee sexual immorality. And then it goes on. The next sentence says, and I'm doing this by my just in my mind, I don't have the scripture right in front of me, but it says all other sins a person commits are outside of their body. So when it says all, and then it goes on, but when it says all other sins a person commits, apparently the scripture is quite clear that when you have sexual immorality or fornication, the word that that woman uses, kind of an older word today. It's a good word. Comes right out of that again, Greek word porneia. You know, it means that we should flee from it. And I don't think it's because God is the great killjoy. I think it's actually because he's in the protection business. You know, all studies show that if people cohabitate before marriage, and this is, by the way, liberal and conservatives, but all studies, and they agree on this, and who agrees on sexuality on the liberals and the conservatives. But on this one, they say that the more positive value-centered sex education kids receive from their parents, the less promiscuous or confused they'll be. Now, the same studies say that if someone lives with someone before or instead of marriage, and the world has changed, more people do that now, that there is a greater chance of, if they get married, a greater chance of divorce, a greater chance of adultery in the marriage, and actually even less sexual satisfaction. And I could go on with a list of about 19 other things that research says. So I think your friend is wrong, and I think actually God does this because he wants the best for us, not because he's trying to, you know, keep us from having fun.
That's right. And, you know, since I wrote Every Man's Battle when I was dating Misty 21 years ago, I thought the least I could do is not have sex before I got married. She talks about all the time that decision that I didn't waver from, and she trusts me in a different dimension than if I had been saying to her, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really mean this or that. She says I'm her post, and it all began with me not wavering on the commitment to the standard, we don't have sex before marriage. I mean, just play that out, and it's a morality issue and a soul issue both.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Ardmer here, and got Dr. Jim Burdens and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Larry Sonnenberg is either joining us now or later. Here he is. Well, Larry, before we talk about what we're going to talk about, it meant so much to me that you and Whitney Putnam came to Mom's memorial service, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, I've told everybody, Steve, that was a wonderful service. It was so honoring of your mother. We learned about her. How your whole family is funny as can be, told wonderful stories and laughed. And so it was a real, real honor to be there, and your mom was really lifted up in that.
Well, I'll tell you this. She was so fun to be around. She had a bright, brilliant, even sarcastic sense of humor right up to the very end. She would go head to toe with me. But she was a faithful believer, a reliable friend, and she served people. And I got to tell you this, she was generous. And she was more worried about, was her gift to New Life and her tithe to the church, were they going to happen, than would she have enough money to eat on the rest of the month. She knew that God was blessing her, and that part of that blessing came as a reward for giving. You know, we don't get money back when we give, but oh, the blessings. She experienced that, and I'll tell you, I miss her so much. And everybody here, you would have loved my mom, because she was always talking about Jesus. She always found the jewel in a Bible passage that she wrote about. And she would also find the joke. She would find things humorous in places most people would miss. But Larry, thanks for being there. And right now, she would be matching our gift. She would figure out a way to find the money to help in our match. Let's talk about that.
She was one of the first Club New Life members. She was a charter member. So
charter
she's
member.
Been given a long time.
Yep.
So our match, $325,000 is the challenge. And as of this morning, we got some checks in the mail today. We're at $185,000. And I know of a couple other commitments that will be coming in, put us over $200,000. So we're doing well. Mm-hmm. And it makes such a big difference. And thank you, everybody who gave to make the match happen. And thank you to those of you that are giving to match it. It means life change for people. That's why we do this.
And you know, Larry, some of the folks that set out that match, they are graduates of Every Man's Battle and so committed to us. Or their wives had gone to Restore. We are able to help people, and then they turn around and they give back to us. And, you know, a lot of times people spend so much money on pornography and other things like that, they don't have money to give. They clean up their act, and they become generous also.
Steve, I want to read you a testimony from a man who got scholarshiped into Every Man's Battle.
Okay.
And he said, "I'm so grateful for the opportunity New Life provided me to be here this weekend. This weekend I was able to find the acceptance and connection that I've been longing for in my life.
There you go.
The men that I met are now brothers, and I look forward to the things we will accomplish together. This weekend allowed me to experience freedom from my shame in a way that I never expected. It has also reopened the door to my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior. Thank you, New Life." It's so gratifying to not just hear guys are getting their act together to know how to live better, how to not act out and do all those things, but to get reconnected to God. Their relationship is restored.
And the other thing is they don't say things like, and I met some new friends here. They use that word brother so often.
And they're,
for brothers for life.
He says we're going to accomplish things together. And that's why they get recovery. That's why it's going to work for them. Yeah. Every Man's Battle is a launching pad. It's not the day of solution.
Well, I want to encourage you. You know, some people ask me about this. We didn't really feature it, but you could give a gift in honor of my mom and her passing and her memory and just the great Christian she was and supporter of New Life.
We've had a few already, so
I would love that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out how to do that. But any gift that you give, it goes to help us put on things like Every Man's Battle, and everything changes once a man is committed to not just be a good guy, but to be holy and to experience purity. That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for every man and any woman that's married to a man. That's what I want her to experience. Anything else, Larry?
Just thank you. Thank you, everybody who is making a difference by supporting us financially. It makes a big difference in people's lives, so thank you.
Amen. All right, let's go back to the phones, 1-800-229-3000, and the number to give, that's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Sherry from McCall, Michigan, I believe it is, and she listens on Sirius XM. Hi there, how are you?
I'm okay. My question here is my disabled daughter, my autistic son, and my second boy were all three victims of sexual abuse. I was too, but the thing is the difference between us all is I believe in God. I know what he can do. I've seen him do abundantly above all things. But they don't want anything to do with the church, anything to do with God. They have turned their back on God, and I don't know how to deal with this. Myself, I just want to find a church, but every church that I've ever been in, I have not, I don't know, I guess been the Christian that they think I ought to be. Therefore, they shun me, make jokes of me, and...
Now, let me ask you this. What would be something that they would think you're not the kind of Christian they want you to be?
Well, okay, I am very misunderstood. Mm-hmm. When I went to the altar Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and cried and bawled my eyes out, they looked at it as though I was ungratified by coming into God's presence by my own hurt and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And what they didn't realize is that I was just in total awe of being in God's presence, and they made all kinds of jokes about me behind my back. One guy actually called me, and you know, he was drunk and said that one of the ladies was, you know, talking about me like a dog. And
okay, so here's let me just jump in here, and then I want to hear from Jim and then Jill. But you found a hurtful place, or you were in a hurtful place, and then now you've gone to other hurtful churches, and there are churches that are totally not like that. And that's what you've got to find there. Jim, what are your thoughts? And then Jill.
Yeah. And again, I'm sorry for all that's taken place in your life and even with your family. But I was going to say the same thing. You know, there's some great churches out there. And I would keep searching and find a church that can care for you and that you can, you know, feel accepted and loved. You know, God loves you not for what you do, but for who you are. He loves you for who you are. And so I hope that you can find a fellowship. You can. They're out there. You've unfortunately been at a couple of places that just are toxic. And there are a lot of churches that aren't toxic. I mean, no church is perfect, but there are churches that aren't going to be toxic and find that. The other thing I would say about your family, and I know I just felt that your heart was breaking that your family doesn't rely on God. But, you know, somebody once said to me, you're the only Jesus somebody knows. And that surely doesn't mean I was taking the place of Jesus. But what it meant was is that I was going to show the love of Jesus to a family that didn't know him. And I think that's what you do. I think you let God be God. You pray like crazy. Let God do the work in their life. But show them, you know, that love that you can. But do that with the help of a body of believers around you that also, you know, love you and support you.
Jill, your thoughts?
Yeah, Sherry, I think it does start with you. And it's like getting yourself grounded first, and that will be an example to your children. I want you to be aware of the fact you said you were also victimized, and how we end up putting ourselves in situations where we are re-victimized, and more after the break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Sherry and Jill. You were talking.
Well, right.
Sherry, you want to finish up and I have a comment here.
Again, what I was saying is when we've been abused, part of our sorting it out, if we haven't gotten enough help for it, is we put ourselves back in situations with people who feel familiar and feel like abusers. And so we have to look at how are we contributing, because it's also how we look at the world, how we engage people. So this is your part. Not that it's your fault for being abused, Sherry, but you've got to approach things differently. And so not choosing a place that would treat you in this way. Also coming into a new body, maybe being more of the observer at first and slowly putting your needs out there. And I would enlist the help of a therapist that can help you kind of discern and make some choices here that are more grounded and stable and don't set you up to feel like you're feeling.
Well, and I think, by the way, I've got a copy of Toxic Faith here, and that's helped a lot of people who have been through things with unhealthy churches like you have, and I'm going to get that to you. I don't even know if we have them in the warehouse. But anyway, we've got Toxic Faith. I'll send you. But I do think, for your children's sake, you should consider a totally different type of church experience. Mm-hmm. Because the churches I go, people don't do what you just described. The last thing they would do is what you described. So,
nor are people drunk in church, usually, unless it's an AA meeting at church, someone who needs an AA meeting at church.
Yeah. But the thing is, if someone was drunk, that someone would deal with that. They wouldn't just be out, that would be dealt with, and they would be helped and counseled and all of that. So I'm going to send you Toxic Faith. I hope that that's going to help you. And I just hope and pray that something that we've said has led you to believe there's a different way to experience church. It's not what you've experienced, even in these later years, and lead your children into a healthy church experience. I think that would be fantastic. 1-800-229-3000. That is the number to call here. And, you know, Terry Mack mentioned this about how many different ways you can listen to this program. And it's on YouTube. You can watch it. You could see this fabulous award here. You could see how Jill dresses every day with these bright colors, how Jim is a little bit dull, and then, but a great smile every day. And then, of course, we have an app. You can hear it there. We have a website. You can just Google New Life Live, and you'll find a way to listen to it, and we want you to listen to it. So please take the time to do that. If you're listening, you've heard me mention, but let me finish this. Every Man's Battle is June. That's this weekend in Orange County, June the 2nd. Restore is online. It'll never be this inexpensive than our online version, June 10th. Intimacy and Marriage, for you guys that are having horrible marriages, mediocre marriages, July 28th could change all of that. One of the things that I hate to see, I don't hate to see the first part, but I hate to see the second, is, well, we're Christians, we'll never divorce. Okay, that's not the part I hate. The part I hate is, well, since we'll never divorce, we'll just settle for mediocre or almost. That's the sad thing. If you have a mediocre marriage, we can radically change that in one weekend. That's July the 28th in D.C. Then with Jim and Jill, Courageous Parents Online, September the 30th, and Emotional Freedom Online, December the 2nd. That's when you support us, that's what we do with that support. We have these kinds of experiences for folks, and they are life-changing when people get involved and do the work. I've got time for one more phone call, and I'm just going to take it right here with Gary, Lafayette, Indiana. If you're holding on, I'll get to you in the next program. SiriusXM. Don't have a lot of time, Gary, but I thought I'd try to grab you here.
Well, you just hit the word. I'll sum it up. I have a mediocre marriage.
Okay. All right, and what have you done?
We've been about married 32 years, so we've done a lot.
Okay. Well, and right now... Go ahead.
Oh, Family Restore Marriage Weekend a long time ago. Uh-huh. And my wife was too sick to attend any of the get-togethers to attend the workshops.
Okay. Well, if she didn't attend, then you never really would know what the impact of that could be.
She stayed in the hotel. You know,
okay,
she was right there.
So have you thought about coming to our Intimacy in Marriage workshop?
Thought about it, yeah.
We could help you.
I've thought about it. I know you have the resources to help. However, I have problems. Okay, I'm just going to say it. All right. Where do you get help if you are the narcissist?
Well, that is so rarely asked by a narcissist. But you know how you get help, especially a man, I think, needs the counsel of another man who understands what narcissism is. You know, it comes as it's kind of a compensating way of living based on a very, very deep, deep wound. And then you have somebody that helps you really come to understand that very deep wound that occurred earlier in life. What would that be for you? Can you think of that hurt or that trauma that impacted your life so much?
My father died when I was 10 of a massive heart attack, surprise, in one afternoon. I was home sick with asthma, and my mother that's enough, okay? I don't have to tell you the details. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Okay. So there's a lot of emotion still with that, even though
there's a lot of emotions, but I'm not able, narcissists can't identify their emotions too good.
Yeah.
Well.
But we just heard it. We just felt it. Jim, you have a thought here? It looks like you do.
You know, Gary, I for one thing, for you admitting that you have a tendency toward narcissism, you're partway there. And you know what? We need a coach. If I was trying to get in shape, I'm going to, you know, try to get a coach to help me. If I go to the doctor, I need help from the doctor. There are people who can help you. This is good news. And you sound willing to do that. And so you don't want to settle for a mediocre marriage. And so first you work on yourself. Really, if you're pointing a finger at your wife about some of this stuff.
I'm not pointing a finger.
I get it.
I got the log in my eye.
No, I got it.
Again, that's so great. And men who specialize in this.
Exactly.
In treating
people
who struggle with narcissism.
There's help for you.
Let us find somebody let me find somebody that can help you. I have a coach because if Tiger Woods needs a coach to golf better, I need a coach to be better. We'll help you find one. All right, join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Jim, Jill, and all of you. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.